The following program is from the 1998 archives.
Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Virginia Mayhew. She's a brilliant exponent of the tenor sax, alto, clarinet, and flute. And she's a very serious composer, and her playing covers a wide range of influences. And all that, and it's great to welcome you to Piano Jazz, Virginia.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
I'm glad you're here. And, you know, I've known you for a while because I saw you with the big band, women's band, Diva.
Mm-hmm.
You were with that band for a while, weren't you?
I think about 3 years.
I think it was maybe during that time or before, you sent me a cassette. I don't know what label it was.
Probably wasn't a label.
Really?
Oh, no. This is my first real record deal.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, whatever it was very good. And I was looking for it the other day because I had it in the car for weeks. And I thought to myself, God, she plays with such a positive, like a really sort of cheerful sound. It really was nice. So
thank you.
Just kept that going. So now that you, this is a real record on Chiaroscuro. Fantastic.
Yes.
Well, it sounds very good. And you certainly assembled a wonderful list of side men.
I couldn't have asked for anybody else. They were just exactly the people I wanted.
Well, how did you go about that? I mean, have you used them for a while? Or
I've used all of them before except Kenny Barron. Leon Parker is one of my oldest friends in New York, and I've known Ingrid and Adam for a long time. And Harvey, I've been working with for about a year. We've all done a lot of gigs together. And then Chiaroscuro thought I should have a big name. And the only chair in my band that was really open was the piano chair. And he was my first choice.
Well, he's a wonderful pianist. Well, before we go any further, lots of things to talk about, but I would love to hear you play something. So what should we do?
How about Au Pourvoir?
Well, that's a good one. A good bird tune. Let's do that.
Okay.
That's the first time I've ever done that, had somebody on tenor and doubling.
It comes really?
Really.
Wow, sounded like you've done it many times.
No, it comes off quite well because that's such a good tune to play on. Any Charlie Parker tune is a good tune, as a matter of fact. You've got such a wonderful, bright sound, really good.
Thank you so much.
As a matter of fact, I seem to recall when you were with Diva, you had quite a few solos to do in
yep,
the band.
I was one of the featured soloists with them.
Now, how was that working in that band? I mean, was it fun?
It was fun. The thing I liked the most about it was getting a chance to work with female musicians, because for the most part, except in my own band, I don't usually run across them.
No, that's true. And yet, there are so many wonderful women musicians out
yes.
there, contrary to what some people think, that there's only a few here and there. I mean, when I think of what it was like maybe in the 50s, people would always be saying, oh, it's so unusual to hear a woman player and things like that, you know. And that now, thank God, it's spread all over. I mean, it's not a bad thing to hear a woman drummer, a woman saxophone player.
It's not unusual, but I still hear that all the time. Oh, a woman saxophone player. I've never heard a woman saxophone player before.
Well, that's sort of polite, but I mean, I would hear things that are, oh, it's not nice to see a woman playing a horn.
Really?
It's not nice to see a woman playing drums. Luckily, I got away with it because I had playing a nice instrument.
Thank goodness.
But now you're from San Francisco, right?
Yes, the Bay Area.
Well,
I actually grew up in suburbia south of there, about half an hour, called Redwood City.
Oh yeah, I know of it. So when did you start to play the horn or horns?
Well, I started on the clarinet when I was in the fifth grade, and I really wanted to play the saxophone, but they told me that girls couldn't play the saxophone.
Oh, you see, it's still happening.
And
but clarinet is okay.
Clarinet's a good basis for the saxophone. And I kept playing the clarinet up until I was about 25.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I couldn't decide if I wanted to play jazz or classical. And
so did you study classical?
Yes, I studied, and I worked even as a clarinetist when I lived in San Francisco.
With bands?
With the Golden Gate Park Band and the Oakland Ballet Orchestra and some good things. But I just really loved jazz. And I had started on the saxophone when I was 16. So it took me about almost 10 years to really make up my mind. I look at these kids today, you know, they're 20 years old and they already are completely dedicated and know what they want to do and sound great.
Well, but it was hard. I mean, when it wasn't something totally accepted. It seems to me it's totally accepted now, no matter what you play. When it really wasn't then, so you had to kind of think about it. But what did your folks think? Were they...
Well, my mom loved it, whatever I did. My grandparents were both classical musicians, so they felt strongly that it would be a nicer life if I went into classical music. But when I made up my mind for jazz, they were very supportive, even though they don't understand it.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great because, I don't know, I had a little classical training at the Guildhall School of Music in London. But I guess what I like is the freedom of jazz, being able to take a tune and do your own thing.
Me too.
That's what you like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of that, let's do another tune. What should we do this time?
Would you like to try All the Things You Are? I could play my soprano?
I'd love it.
That sounds
now
like
how
fun.
Will we do this?
Have you ever played it in three?
No.
Let's try that. It's really fun.
Okay. It's a nice idea to do All the Things You Are in three.
That's a little different, at least.
Yeah, because everybody plays that tune, and that's something different to do with it. With your group, do you put together all the arrangements?
Pretty much. I write a lot of the tunes and the arrangements of those, and then for the standards, it depends on what kind of gig it is. If it's just a gig at a little club, you know, where people aren't really listening or anything, then we'll play anything, whatever we feel like it. But if it's a concert situation, then we'll play things that we've rehearsed or everybody knows really well, with maybe a couple different chords or something like that.
But that's quite an undertaking, having a group and writing for it. And did you ever have a problem, like with a group of men telling them what to do?
I've never had a problem.
Because I used to have that problem.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
If I ever do have that problem, I think that they won't be back. I mean, there are so many great musicians that don't have any kind of attitude.
That's true.
There's really no reason.
How do you learn tunes? I mean, did you just pick them up off the radio?
Not really the radio. Usually I'll learn them from an LP or a CD. And usually if it's a song that has words, I usually learn the words too.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Just...
Especially if it's a ballad.
Especially if it's a ballad. Absolutely, yeah. If it's a ballad. Yeah. But anyhow, just to get the idea of, you know, the general idea of the song.
Well, here's a nice one coming up. God, what an old tune, but old but good. Mm-hmm. Body and Soul, we can do that, can't we?
Wonderful.
Okay. That's really pretty, the way you play Body and Soul. You must have listened to some of the greats of yesteryear.
I have.
Who have you listened to?
Well, for Body and Soul, my favorite recording was Lester Young with Nat King Cole playing the piano.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that recording?
Yeah. He was so wonderful. Well, how about some of the people like Coleman Hawkins?
Of course, Coleman Hawkins, yeah.
I guess that was his great tune.
Mm-hmm. That was his big hit. He had to go back and learn it off the recording, I heard, because people wanted to hear it just the way it was on the recording.
Oh, that's true, probably. I've heard that with not only with him, with different people. They always say that if you have something that was a hit on a record, which, of course, I've never had, they say, oh, you didn't play it like the record. Actually, I did have somebody say that to me at the Hickory House, and I played Our Love Is Here to Stay, mm-hmm. and a newspaper man, Jack O'Brien, and he used to come in and really whine a lot because certain chords he wanted to hear that I didn't play, and I was trying to get away from being
exactly
boring and play different chords, you know.
Jazz is supposed to keep growing. It's not supposed to stay the
same. Right, you are supposed to and hear different things, which obviously you're doing.
Well, obviously you're doing it.
Well, you know, this has been so much fun, And I really am so happy to hear you and meet you, Virginia, and know that you're doing so great in the business. And we can play one more tune before you have to go. But what can we do that will really give us a good send-off?
How about Getting Sentimental Over You?
That's a good tune.
That's a good tune.
Always reminds me of sitting in the Statler Hotel. Again, I'm going back before your time, but sitting in there with my husband, Jimmy, and listening to Tommy Dorsey. That was his theme song.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to sit at a table and talk with somebody, and they would start to play the theme song, and he would dash up on the bandstand and play that thing. We'd never, ever made a squeak or anything on the trombone. I mean, it was amazing.
And it was pretty high, too, wasn't it?
That was the key. It was in E-flat.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was a fantastic musician. I always think of him when I think of that tune. But we can do our thing on that.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.